Discovering Christ in Revelation, Chapter 21, Salvation to God and to the Lamb. A reading from Revelation chapter 7, verse 17. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and shall lead them into living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. The subject of this chapter is the salvation of God's elect. Long ago, the prophet Jonah declared, "Salvation is of the Lord." All God's saints on the earth learn the sweet words of David's song and rejoice to sing, "The salvation of the righteous is of the Lord." Salvation is of the Lord in its planning, in its purchase, in its performance, in its preservation, and in its perfection. From beginning to end, salvation is God's work and God's gift, and He gives it to whom He will. When at last all the elect are gathered together around the throne of God, perfectly glorified in Christ, they will proclaim, "Salvation to our God which sitteth on the throne, and unto the Lamb." In these 17 verses, John teaches us four facts about the salvation of God's elect. 1. God preserves this world in order to save His elect in it. Point number 2. All God's elect will be saved. Number 3. They will all be saved through faith in Christ. And 4. Their salvation will be perfect, complete, and eternal. Point number 1. God preserves this world in order to save His elect in it. No one should mistake God's long-suffering for lack of will or ability in the Almighty to punish His enemies. The entire 6th chapter of Revelation is a warning to men of the certainty and finality of God's judgment. The Lord's patience and long-suffering with men and women in this world is an unquestionable fact. He causes the sunshine and the rain to fall both upon the righteous and the wicked. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. But temporal mercies are not an indication of God's favor. Far from it. God has set the wicked in slippery places. Their feet will slide down to hell in due season. God has already prepared the instruments by which He will free Himself of His adversaries and destroy all His enemies. The angels of destruction are armed with the winds of woe and are ready to execute judgment. These four angels control the instruments of destruction throughout the whole earth, north, south, east, and west. They are prepared for their work of hurting or destroying the earth. But suddenly, John sees another angel ascending from the east. He cries with a loud voice to the four angels in verse 1 and commands them to withhold their judgment. This angel ascending up out of the east is the Lord Jesus Christ, the angel of the covenant. Who but the angel of the covenant, the messenger of the covenant, could have a seal of the covenant? Who but Christ, who holds His people in His hands and keeps them by the power of His grace, could seal His servants? He is the day star and the Son of Righteousness who rose in the east from Judah, out of Zion. When He arose to seal His people, He brought light, life, salvation, and joy to us. There is healing beneath His wings. Christ has the seal of the covenant, which is the Spirit of God. As circumcision was the physical sign and seal of God's covenant with Abraham, so the Holy Spirit, given to God's elect in regeneration, is the seal of the covenant of grace. It is Christ, our Mediator, the angel of the covenant who preserves this world from destruction in order to accomplish the salvation of God's elect. The only thing holding back the judgment of God from this world is the mediatorial work of Christ. God's patience, long-suffering, and forbearance with this world are to usward and are for the salvation of His elect. As God set His seal upon the houses of Israel when the destroying angel passed through Egypt, so Christ has set His seal upon all the elect. As Aaron wore a signet upon his forehead which read, "Holiness to the Lord," so Christ has set His sanctifying seal upon His people. If you are a believer, the seal of God is upon you. Judgment will surely come, but you have nothing to fear. The woes of this book are against the wicked, persecuting world. No punishment from God will fall upon His chosen ones. God punished the sins of His people in Christ, their substitute, to the full satisfaction of His justice. Since Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, we cannot be condemned. This sealing is one of the most precious things under heaven. The seal of God protects, preserves, and keeps us. It is the mark of God's ownership upon us. It cannot be broken. Well might we pray, "Set me as a seal upon thine heart." God the Father sealed us with His decree of election. God the Son sealed us with His atoning blood. God the Holy Spirit sealed us with His regenerating grace. Point number two. All God's elect will be saved. Many far-fetched and groundless speculations have been made and opinions voiced concerning the identity of these 144,000. This number, like all the rest of the vision, is symbolical. It is a definite number used to describe an indefinite multitude. How are we to discover who they are? Simply, look at the context. The 144,000 represent all of God's sealed ones throughout the whole earth. The whole Israel of God, a great multitude of elect Jews and Gentiles that no man can number who will be saved. The 12 tribes of Israel which are named and the 12,000 out of each tribe represent spiritual Israel, the church, the whole body of God's elect. To suggest, as many do, that Jews will obtain God's mercy and grace because they are Jews, physical descendants of Abraham, is to fly in the face of Holy Scripture. Grace does not come to men as a matter of physical inheritance, but by spiritual heritage. John tells us five things about this 144,000, that is, five things about God's elect. 1. They are a great multitude. 2. God's elect, and only God's elect, were redeemed by the blood of Christ. 3. The elect are known in time by their conversion to Christ. 4. All the elect are sealed in grace, preserved and kept by God the Holy Spirit. They shall never perish. And point 5. All God's elect, the entire 144,000, will definitely be saved. John saw them all, the whole great innumerable multitude, standing before the throne of God and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, holding palm branches in their hands, giving praise to God. What God has purposed, He will bring to pass. Well, we've had 2 points now. Actually, 3. 1. God preserves this world in order to save His elect in it. 2. All God's elect will be saved. And now, number 3. They will all be saved through faith in Christ. Election is not salvation, it is unto salvation, as you will read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Redemption guarantees salvation, but redemption is not salvation. Salvation comes to sinners only through faith in Christ. This faith is as much a work of grace and gift of God as election and redemption. And it is just as necessary. No one can be saved without personal faith in Christ. We are told two things about all who enter into heaven. First, they all come out of great tribulation. That refers to the temptations, trials, and persecutions of God's elect in this world. And secondly, they have all washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They have placed their trust in the blood of Christ and have by faith obtained perfect righteousness in Him. Point four, their salvation will be perfect, complete, and eternal. This is seen in verses 15 through 17. Therefore, because they have been redeemed and justified through the blood of Christ, the Lamb of God sacrificed in their place, are they before the throne. There they worship and serve Him in spontaneous, glad, unceasing devotion of heart, and these redeemed ones in glory enjoy sweet, full, intimate communication and fellowship with God through Christ. That is the essence of heaven's glory and bliss. All these things apply to all God's elect. In heaven we shall be in the immediate, eternal presence of our God and Savior. Everything we want, need, or desire will be supplied with unlimited fullness. We shall be completely delivered from all sin, all sorrow, hardship, and care. Who could wish for anything more? God's salvation is perfect salvation.